Summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Reading and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
Hey, guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slate, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 14.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Pop some popcorn, grab your favorite beverage, and get ready to celebrate local filmmakers with the 13th Annual Sundial Film Festival. Happening March 6th, the Sundial Film Festival is presented by the Active 2030 Club of Reading. The event has gone virtual this year, so you can enjoy the array of films from the comfort of your own home. It's free to view the Sundial Film Festival happening March 6th at 6 p.m. All you have to do is go to sundialfilmfestival.com and RSVP. The 13th Annual Sundial Film Festival happening March 6th online at sundialfilmfestival.com.
I expected it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military.
I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Turtle Bay Exploration Park is back open for exploration. See the West Coast Biennial Art Exhibition featuring diverse pieces by artists up and down the West Coast. Enjoy the Visible River Aquarium, Caverns Exhibits, Parrot Playhouse, and more. There's something for everyone to discover at Turtle Bay.
Orchard Nutrition Center, your local neighborhood health food store. We are dedicated to the healthy lifestyle, and we strive for a high standard to carry organic, GMO-free, and clean healthy products.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
because you are worth it.
We have certified nutritionists on staff that take pride in helping you. Supporting local, we're all in it together. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. And you may qualify to get the 26% federal tax credit. At Powerhouse Solar, we are an elite dealer for SunPower, and we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels. A lot of people don't realize they have options now. You can get the SunPower SunVault battery and solar with financing. So keeping the lights on when the grid goes down is easier than ever. And the entire system is backed by their 25-year warranty. Powerhouse Solar can design a system for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com. Again, call Powerhouse Solar at 275-5600 or visit us online at powerhousesolar.com.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Turtle Bay Annual Auction is going virtual. Now everyone can take part in bidding on exciting items and supporting Turtle Bay. Bidding begins March 11th. Tune in for the live virtual watch party March 20th on Facebook Live or YouTube. Go to turtlebay.org and click the online auction banner to register and learn more.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Pulse Urgent Care at 100 East Cypress Avenue would like to thank you for your support during 2020. Pulse is happy to announce they are reopening their urgent care services and are accepting patients by appointment only between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. on weekdays and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturdays. Pulse follows public health guidelines. Masks are required along with social distancing. Please call ahead at 530-722-1111 for a screening, appointment, and further information.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency childcare, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
At Reading Electric Utility, we recognize the value of education and the impact it can have on our families and our community. Interested in pursuing a career in science, technology, engineering, or math? Start by applying for a college scholarship or technical school grant offered by Reading Electric Utility. For more information about available scholarships and grants, visit cityofreading.org/ruscholarships. Applications must be submitted by March 10, 2021. Your future looks bright.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call him at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
It's a dialogue, not a monologue, and some people don't understand that. Social media is more like a telephone than a television. Amy Jo Martin.
You're listening to Writing Roots, brought to you by Aspen House Publishing.
Welcome to Writing Roots. I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
Our topic today is social media. Speaking of social media, go to our Facebook page, Writing Roots Podcast. Give us a like, give us a follow. Get involved with us on social media, and we'll have more advice for you. Be able to answer your questions about how to use it for your writing branding. Let's get into how to use social media for marketing. This is huge.
It's also incredibly delicate.
All of your posts should offer your readers something. It shouldn't always just be begging them to buy your book. Let's get into the different kinds of platforms. The main platforms where you will see author interactions are Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Yes, Instagram. It is big, it is growing, especially if you are writing YA.
I hear a lot of people say that they get more bang for their buck on Instagram than any other social media site. I personally am not on it. My target audience isn't there. But I am on Facebook, and I technically have a Twitter account I haven't touched in like 3 years. Which is bad. Don't do that.
When you're choosing which platform you use, you have to consider your target audience. If your target audience is older, Facebook is the way to go. If your target audience is, like I said, YA, Instagram. If it's kind of in between and the group of people that really like hashtags, go with Twitter. A fourth option would be your forums or blogs like Reddit and Tumblr. It's not as easy to build interactions there, but it's a good place to go for marketing.
Something I will advise you as authors to do is to set up a separate page for your author persona. If you follow Lee S's on Facebook, you're going to get little quotes about writing, interesting things that I find, puns. You'll see a lot of puns, and especially dark humor, because that's what I want my audience to think of me. If you follow my personal page, you're going to get pictures of dogs, You're going to get a weather forecast. You're going to get things that are not remotely relevant to who I am in your world, which is the author.
This applies across all social media and internet interactions. You need to keep your personal pages, your personal setups, separate from your professional pages.
So I give myself about an hour a day to spread my Lies's wings throughout social media.
If you have a blog or website for you and your writing, make sure it is branded to you as the author, not the book, so that people can constantly go to you as the author and find all of your books. You don't have to have like three different pages for three different books. So let's get into the use of social media. When you post, you need to put thought into it. It needs to be designed. Almost every single platform, especially Facebook, puts a priority on posts that includes words as well as images and videos.
This is one of those easy ways to contact your readers before your next book is out. I think every career author that I follow has done a cover reveal at some point since I started following them. Whatever their next book is, this is the beginning of building momentum for your next book that's about to be released. Social media is where your fans are going to look for this information. So how do I design a post for most effectiveness? You mentioned an image. Is that it? Just have a pretty picture?
People love to see the person behind the writing. They love to feel connected with that. I'll talk a little bit more about the actual wording of the post in our next episode where we're talking about tease writing, but have the wording, have an image that will grab attention. Pictures of puppies, pictures of cats, pictures of you, but make sure it always includes your book and your branding, your imagery.
One particular post that really stands out in my mind is an author who got her advanced copies of the book before it even released, and her puppy, I think was like 8 months old at the time, got into and chewed up one of the books. So she posted a picture of the dog with the scattered remnants of this book and then turned it into a fan giveaway. It had something to the nature of Timber ate it all in one sitting. Or something like that. If you want a Timber-approved advanced reader copy of this book,
like and share and comment and enter the contest. Another thing about designing your post is looking at the timing of when it's posted. Posting at midnight or 2 o'clock in the morning is not always effective. Algorithms play with this a little bit, but especially if you are on Twitter or Instagram, those are timeline-oriented platforms. If you are posting at 2 o'clock in the morning, your post is going to be buried. So make sure that you're scheduling it out, or you take the time at a good time of day where your target audience is going to be online and cruising to make those posts.
The scheduling posts ability in whatever platform you're in is your friend. If you don't know how to use that, go on to whatever platform you're using, experiment. Discover what works for you, because then you don't have to be married to social media. You can say, for the 10 days leading up to the release of the book, I want to release a different quote from the book every day. I can generate all of those graphics with matching branding and schedule them to release on their own, so I don't have to spend that time to remember and invest.
There are also several third-party companies that you can sign up for to schedule out posts on platforms that don't have scheduling, such as Twitter and Instagram. When it comes to how you post, you don't want to overwhelm. If I see too many posts from a single page in a day, I'm more likely to unfollow them because I don't want to be overwhelmed with just one person's stuff. But if you don't post enough, then there's not going to be enough interaction there to make sure that the algorithms are picking up that your readers like interacting with this page, so they're not going to be sending it out quite as much. And this applies mostly to Facebook.
Even if they're not interacting, if your name passes their Facebook feed, the job is done. mission accomplished. It's done its little bit of advertising to help get you to stay in the forefront of their minds. But you have to make sure it feels natural. If it's a, hey, I wrote this book about my grandmother and today's her birthday. Okay, that's interesting. Oh, today's 1 year from when I published.
Look at my puppy, she's cute.
Yep.
Buy my book. As an author, you also need to be interacting with other pages. Join writers groups. Be involved with them. Write, comment, post, but be careful how you comment. Don't spam. There are some things that you want to focus on. If you have like a launch party or a live read, some kind of event, ahead of time, you need to be keeping up the buzz.
One of the things that I like to do is to give little teases leading up to the publication of the book. So if you like this offhand comment from this character, it gives you an idea of what all of the writing looks like.
But once that event comes and goes, you're not done advertising. You need to keep the interest alive. Stay online. Keep sharing quotes. Keep sharing relevant posts. Create memes for your books and write those.
And let your audience know about all of your other marketing techniques that you're doing. Hey, I'm going to be interviewed on such and such station, and tag that station so that all of the station's fandom on their Facebook page at least read your name. Tagging people is a very healthy way to advertise to people who don't already follow your page.
And please, when you are writing the posts, edit, double check, triple check, double double check.
And this goes to the professionalism of your brand. If you misspell or use the wrong your or whatever, your viability and the trust in you as an author goes down.
On top of being involved in social media, having pages, posting, look for opportunities to have ads on different social media and internet sites. This will take some monetary investment because you have to pay for ads, but it can make a difference in expanding your audience beyond what you can reach yourself.
If you're looking for the most bang for your buck, I would say Facebook is going to give you the best kind of results, at least as far as exposures and interactions. Google ads exist, but if you're well branded, then it's not going to be super helpful.
So when she said, if you're well branded, that means if somebody puts your name or your book in a Google search bar, yours should be the first natural search hit that pops up. You can buy ad space so that your name pops up as the ad that's at the very, very top.
If you aren't on the first page of Google, that might be an interesting way to try to bump yourself up. Or consider rebranding if you're not yet published. Amazon ads are another way to go about that, but you're much better off going organically.
This is something that you can be thinking of before you ever publish, before you even finish writing. Getting started on creating your social media presence so that when you do publish, when you do release that book, you already have the start of an audience.
And if you intend to traditionally publish, these numbers, the number of followers that you have, will get traditional publishers' attention. It can only help you in your career as an author, whichever path you take.
So be thinking about how you're going to be involved on social media. Be thinking about your branding. Be thinking about your book branding.
And even when you write ads,
write selfishly.
If you have a question or comment for our hosts or a topic you'd like us to cover, send us an email at writingroots@aspenhousepublishing.com or find us on Facebook by searching for Aspen House Publishing.
Wherever the art of medicine is loved, there is also a love of humanity. Hippocrates.
You're listening to Writing Roots, brought to you by Aspen House Publishing.
Welcome to Writing Roots. I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
Joining us today is Lorraine Woodworth, a nurse. Welcome, Lorraine.
How do you do? Nice to be here.
So tell us a little bit about you and what you do.
All right. I am a registered nurse, and I started in the 90s in Reading. And for some very odd reason, I've always been fascinated with surgical procedures that alter our functions in some way that have to be adapted, and wounds, and things that a lot of people may not be particularly interested in, but it's always fascinated me. So after I finished my bachelor's degree at Chico State, I went on to get a certification in wounds, ostomies, and continence. So that's my area that I function in, and now I'm a hospice nurse. That's kind of the way I've done. I'm semi-retired, but I still do work.
So in a lot of popular media, there's this certain idea of what a nurse is. You know, people will picture the TV shows. How much of that would you say is true?
Well, nursing is one of those most highly respected professions. Statistically, when they do tests or surveys of who you trust, who you don't trust, there are people who will trust their nurse over their doctor. The best nurses, I think, are people who really love the science of it, the interaction with human beings, and the ability to help people. And those that are just punching the clock for a job, well, you know, they're in every line of work, even your doctors and people like that.
So there's this idea that all nurses are kind, gentle, loving, caring kind of characters who are very sensitive souls. Do you find that
no.
to be accurate?
Anybody that knows me knows that's not true. I'm sorry. No, not every nurse is. No, not every human being is. It's a tremendous cross-section of humanity is in the nursing profession.
I feel like it would be a lot like police work or fire work of sometimes they start out being bright and hopeful, but over time with all of the things they deal with, they get a little jaded when it comes to optimism in the world.
Well, a lot of that depends on what area of nursing you're in. In my own personal experience, and that's all I have to go by, people that work in emergency, those are the people that are going to see all kinds of negative aspects of humanity. People that work in surgical floors, you know, they deal with medical doctors and post-operative. Everybody has a different job. I think that some people have a gallows type of humor, and they'll see funny in things that other people would shiver at. But I don't think it's intended to be mean or nasty. It's just you have to in some way protect yourself from some of the things that you see. But I've never met a nurse that's deliberately mean or is totally indifferent to the suffering of people. Mm-hmm. I don't think they'd last very long.
So I didn't realize before, and I feel terrible about this now, that there are different kinds of nurses in one hospital.
So let's take the emergency room, for instance. Those nurses are at a specific level of emergency, just stop bleeding, restore breathing. This is what we need to do right immediately. On another floor that we call med-surg, a medical unit, people have come in being sick. Or they just had surgery and they're having a rather normal recovery or an expected recovery. But that nurse will be specially experienced in taking care of antibiotics and hanging the medicines and watching for reactions to the medicines, looking for infections in the wound, making sure that whatever was sewn up stays sewn up, all those kinds of things. In an ortho floor, an orthopedic surgery floor, you have to know about all kinds of different equipment that people come in with tractions, and they're all hung differently with things to keep a leg that's been broken in place. I mean, every single floor in a hospital has a specific type of patient that they're dealing with. And then, you know, like you get a person like me, for instance, when I worked in the hospital, if I was working as a wound and ostomy nurse, ostomy means opening external mouth to outside the body, and the word before that or the preface is whatever part of the body has been made into an ostomy. Mm-hmm. You've got the person that needs to be fitted with the appliance, and for it to work, you have to educate them. Or if they have a wound, you just do rounds all day with people that have wounds and come up with treatment plans for them. So there's dialysis nurses, nurses that specialize in kidney dialysis. That's a very specific skill and job. I mean, those are just a few of the things mm-hmm. that different nurses are skilled and trained to do.
So for an author, it's very important to, if they have a nurse character, what kind of nurse are they going to be in the story? What
exactly.
do they need to know specifically?
Right. Well, for instance, if you have a character in your writing that has a gunshot wound, the nurse can't be a labor and delivery nurse. I didn't even get into that. You want the nurse that knows what to do when a person comes in with a gunshot wound and have had experience. You know that they're going to need x-ray, they're going to need blood, they're going to need all these things. And so you would expect your character and the nurse in that position to have certain levels of skill. Yeah, you got to know what kind of nurse they are.
So we did have a listener have a question for you. The question
okay.
is, how would diabetes affect a character dying from an infection? I believe this character is writing a post-apocalyptic kind of story where antibiotics aren't readily available.
Oh, well, a diabetic person, if anybody's blood sugar gets to be over 150, the white blood cells do not function efficiently to go after infection. When an infection presents itself, the body itself sets up a defense. And to make it just as simple as possible, when a person has diabetes, their blood is more like syrup than water. The white blood cells can't get to the bacteria in order to break them down and destroy them. So if you don't have artificial antibiotics, then the body is not going to be able to fight its own infection.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay. So get the fluids down and get the blood sugar as normal as you can possibly get it.
Interesting.
But a post-apocalyptic, you're not going to have blood sugar medicines either.
Yeah. So do you have any stories that you could share with us that might represent what you do for the authors that are listening?
One of the things that I tell is that you learn from your patients as well. I had a patient, an old man. He wasn't in the hospital for this particular problem. He was sick with something else, and he had an ostomy. I was trying to show him how to do it, kind of, you know, I've been to school, I know how to do this kind of stuff. And he looks at me and he said, young lady, you don't know what you're doing. If you want to do this as a job, you better learn to listen to the people you're taking care of. So sit down and let me show you something. And I was like, okay, I will learn from this old man. Another story in the ostomy thing. I had a lady who was 87, and we're in the bathroom. I'm trying to show her how to take care of this thing, and she says, well, you know, I've got to get home and start taking care of Oscar. And I said, Oscar? Who's Oscar? I mean, I knew her family by then. She'd been there for 2 weeks. She patted her side. She says, my ostomy. She named it Oscar. and she was gonna learn how to take care of it. Those are the things that you take to your heart every time things don't work out so well. You know? So those are two of my stories I can come up with right off the top of my head.
I love them. Yep. So throughout our conversation, you've been throwing out a lot of lingo. What do you think is important for authors to know if they're writing a nurse character, or where can they turn to get and use realistic lingo without it sounding very wrong to somebody who knows what they're talking about?
There's nothing to compete with actually talking to a nurse. But the glossaries that are in nursing textbooks, those are good places, because even if it doesn't answer all your questions, it can give you at least where to start to look for an answer. But I wouldn't put anything in a book that's specific unless you know really what that word means.
Or find yourself a nursing friend to say, hey, does this make sense? Is it real?
Right.
Does it actually apply in this scenario?
I've been asked those questions before, and it's always a challenge to think about it that way. I happen to watch a medical thing, and somebody says something that's really like, oh, come on. You have to say it. You have to mention it out loud, even if you're sitting in a room all by yourself. That wouldn't happen. They wouldn't say that.
I do that with my own job.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody does.
And I will say, talking from experience, that if you know this nurse outside of this author relationship and you don't preface that this question is about your book, make sure you let them know, hey, I'm asking about motorcycle head wounds for my book, not for somebody that I'm actually
having had that panic attack myself.
Yeah.
Yes, well, we say, for research, then ask the question. Don't ask about gunshot wounds unless you tell somebody that it's for research.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us. There's a lot of good information that we have here. Very much appreciate it, and I personally very much appreciate your help in answering these kinds of questions in my own storytelling.
There's nothing more flattering to a person than for somebody to ask their advice, even if it's about a fantasy character in a book. I don't think any nurses will mind being asked these kind of questions. It's very flattering.
So long as the timing is right. If you're in the hospital getting treated for something, that might not be the best time.
Right.
But in anything you do, make sure you always
write selfishly.
If you have a question or comment for our hosts or a topic you'd like us to cover, send us an email at writingroots@aspenhousepublishing.com or find us on Facebook by searching for Aspen House Publishing.
She was of divine stock, not of men, in the forepart a lion, in the hinder a serpent, and in the midst a goat, breathing forth in terrible wise the might of a blazing fire. Homer's Iliad.
You're listening to Writing Roots, brought to you by Aspen House Publishing.
Welcome to Writing Roots. I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses, and that only took us 7 tries.
Just about. Our episode today is about the oldest kind of monster. The name is not quite so old, but we are using the term chimera for all of those monsters that are a mix of something.
Chimera tend to be monsters that are half this, half that, or part this, middle part this, end part this, like our quote suggested. But the oldest monster on record, as best we can tell, was the Löwenmensch, which is half man, half lion. I believe it was German. So I think the lion was mountain lion. But it doesn't take a whole lot of imagination to try to figure out how to create a monster if you're just taking Lego bits from this one and Lego bits from that one and sort of mashing them together.
And that really is what a chimera is. The term chimera comes from Homer's Iliad. That's kind of the earliest written record of it. But it's just a mix. And the reason why they're considered monsters is because they were seen as unnatural. Because they were a combination of things that should never be together, they should be feared.
Yeah, you see a lot of the mammal mixed with bird, mixed with humanoid, mixed with serpentine in some regard. If you have something that's somewhere between a cat and a dog, okay, that's not as terrifying as something somewhere between a cat and a hunting spider, because they're more separate.
And there's also a little subcategory of a chimera that tend to be riddlers, and we'll talk about the Sphinx a little bit later in this episode. So let's get into examples. One of the most common types of a chimera is a half-human of some kind.
Of course, the first thing that comes to mind is centaurs and fauns. As somebody who grew up reading The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, fauns were a large part of my imagination. But you also have in Eastern cultures the tengu, which are a human-bird combination. There are a couple of different names for that, but that's the one that I learned first.
In Western cultures, adopted from Persia was the manticore, where it's seen as having a human head, the body of a lion, and the tail of either a scorpion or a porcupine.
I think the second's more terrifying.
Uh-huh. Especially in some of the descriptions I was reading, is that it would shoot out the spines from the tail and then regrow them almost instantly.
This needs to be in a movie at some point. You put it in your book, let me know. I want to see this.
Yes. And then, of course, you also have the Egyptian Sphinx, which is the Riddler, the very much seen as wise. If you can best it using your mind, then it won't eat you.
And I think Oedipus had a Sphinx in his story as well that was part of the prophecy that would bring about his own doom. But having a character be not only physically powerful, but witty, it's kind of a part of how characters can be better than their readers, in a way. They can be heroic, not only by chopping off Medusa's head, but by figuring out how to see her, by being smart as well. And the Sphinxes tend to be an opportunity in a lot of Mediterranean mythology to showcase your character's brilliance.
The reason why the half-human monsters tend to be so scary is because it's an abomination of something that people are so familiar with. We know what humankind is. We know what it looks like. And if it looks different, especially in ancient cultures, it was to be feared.
And I think a lot of the before DC and Marvel superpower-type characters tended to be in this category, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, where he has this, in this case, mental half of him that is animal. And then you've got things like Spider-Man, where you have, he's half spider, half man. Your heroes can be in some way, but they tend to be conflicted.
So let's get on to some of the more interesting combinations, I guess you could say. The mix and match meshes of creatures. The origin of the word chimera is, like we said a little bit earlier, from Homer's Iliad. That is the lion head and body. There's a goat head in the middle with the goat udders and then a serpent's tail.
If you look throughout world history, you can find almost any two combinations in some regard. One of my favorites is an eagle in the front and a lion in the back. That's the griffin.
And kind of going along with that was introduced to, at least to me in the Harry Potter universe, is the hippogriff, where it's the eagle in the front and the horse in the back. This is not to be confused with the hippocamp, which will be covered when we talk about aquatic monsters next episode.
But it is also worthy of mentioning a chimera as well. And mermaids, again, half fish, half human.
And if you haven't quite figured it out, the griff part of the word is the eagle. The hippo is the horse. If you look at the root of the word, it can give you an idea of what the monster is. So another beast that is fairly common in Arthurian legends and then in some other places, we're going to describe it to you. And I want you to picture this creature. I want you to put the image together in your head.
This strange creature has the head and neck of a serpent, the body of a leopard, the haunches of a lion, and the feet of a deer. Do you have it? Are you picturing it in your head? What does it look like?
Well, what you described, the serpent head, a leopard body, lion back, and then hooves. But if you really break that down, it actually describes a giraffe.
When these mythologies were written, there weren't a whole lot of travels to Central Africa to see giraffes. So it's very possible somebody went there and came back and describe this monstrous thing with this super long neck, but it had leopard fur, but hooves, and then the tail and the haunches, it looked like a lion tail.
So this creature is called a questing beast. And you see it in Arthurian legend. Questing is a pun, and I love it.
Questing, in this case, means barking in some way. But Arthur was also sent at one point to deal with said questing beast, so he was
on a quest for the questing beast. Some of the earliest writings that included a questing beast are from the 13th century in France, and one of the earliest descriptions of how a questing beast is made was that it's born of a young woman and a devil. And I won't get super into the details because it's rather complicated, but if you want to look into it, it's interesting.
And one of the things that you're going to see as far as trends in Chimera are that they are abnormalities in some way. It's the only one of this kind. There's only one Sphinx until this one is destroyed and then they pop up with a different one. There's only one questing beast because they're so difficult to come across. Whereas if you have fae or giants, they're a whole race of people that exist alongside humans.
A lot of them also have some kind of super strength or physical abilities. Like in the beginning, the Chimera can breathe fire. The manticore is either venomous or shoots darts.
And if there is a human element to this monster, it's often demigod in a way. It was popular for Zeus to turn into a swan and all sorts of other random stuff. So they're kind of the gods' rejects that were just kind of sent down to Earth. You guys can deal with them. But if they're half human, they tend to be ones you have to both overpower and outsmart.
So that's generally how you deal with them. The questing creatures, the questing beasts, the Chimera, those in mythology were made to be killed. Usually it took a lot of trickery, a little bit of smarts in order to kill it, not just brute force. That's their whole thing. So the questing beast was killed by a lance. An arrow killed Chimera from the back of Pegasus.
And often these creatures in storytelling are simply in the way. You think of the Minotaur or a lot of the Sphinxes, those kind of characters. They aren't the end game like questing to go kill a dragon would be, but they need to get through the maze. They need to get to the other side of the road. Sounds like a bad joke. But getting to somewhere else, they are in the way. So long as you can get past them, whatever it takes, outsmarting them by answering their riddle or whatever, you can go on your way.
I hope this information has given you some good ideas. Really, if you just take a creature or five, throw them all together in one, you've created your own Chimera.
If you've seen the TV show Avatar: The Last Airbender, you kind of get what a Chimera is. There's a spiderfly, the glowflies, elbow leeches, catigators, polar bear dogs, buffalo yaks, tiger seals, otter penguins. It just gets creepier.
I love it. So just throw them all together in one. Make yourself a Chimera and send them on a quest.
Or make them stand in the way of your hero's quest. But whatever you do,
write selfishly.
If you have a question or comment for our hosts or a topic you'd like us to cover, send us an email at writingroots@aspenhousepublishing.com or find us on Facebook by searching for Aspen House Publishing.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is the second generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423 at Advanced Automotive.
Be undeniably good. No marketing effort or social media buzzword can be a substitute for that. Anthony Volodkin.
You're listening to Writing Roots, brought to you by Aspen House Publishing.
Welcome to Writing Roots. I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
Just a real quick shout out before we get into the episode. Find us on our Facebook page. We post updates, fun memes, encouragement for writing. It's a great place to interact with us. We try to respond to all comments on there. So join us. Yay!
So today's episode, we're talking about one of the most vital and often talked about tools in your toolbox, and that is getting reviews. People think that having all 5-star reviews is great, but you're better off having a high number of reviews that are honest than having just grandma's reviews going, I love my sunflower, she's fantastic.
When I'm looking for anything, books included, I will look for something that has, you know, an average of 4 to 5 stars, but has been reviewed a couple hundred times. And if there's not anything available, it's a couple hundred times, at least 100 times. Because if it's been reviewed 100 times and its average is 4 stars or above, that means that the majority of people like that book or like that product, that it worked, that it functioned. So instead of trying to get a couple of people that are going to give you 5-star reviews, I pretty much pass over any reviews that's 3 people, all 5 stars, because I think, eh.
I can get people I know who haven't read the book to just sign on to their account and go, yay, and that's it.
Yeah, it's a statistical balance thing. So getting more reviews is better than getting a few good reviews.
And I did want to give people a heads up. Paying for reviews is illegal. In a lot of these places online where you can get reviews and check out reviews, I'm talking about Amazon, I'm talking about Goodreads, I'm talking about a lot of these places. If you have someone say, hey, I'll review your book for $5, that's not allowed.
If you're paying somebody to give a review, it's essentially a type of fraud. So don't do it. Try to get reviews naturally. Also, technically, as the author, you're not supposed to ask for reviews. But me, I'm not the author, so I can go tell you, hey, Lee's books, Black and White and Cyan and Blue, are really good. You should check them out and then give them great reviews.
So this episode is a PSA to all authors out there and all readers out there. Please review. If you like something, if you want to support it, it'll take you 5 seconds, and it makes a huge difference in that author's life.
So let's get into how to get reviews. First things first, there are 2 places that people will almost always go to look for reviews first. Goodreads and Amazon.
Which are linked, by the way, in the back end. But a lot of readers will often look first to Goodreads. As compared to on Amazon, you've got all of this other stuff besides books that exists, so it's going to draw a wider amount of audience. So if I wanted my dad, who is not a reader, to review someone else's book, he would probably review on Amazon. If I had my mom, who is a reader, go to review somebody's book, they would probably go to Goodreads. It's important to not only get reviews there, but to make sure your presence is known.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.